when I needed you, Jesus. All I had to do was call. Sometimes was in the morning, sometimes late at night. But when I got up off my knees, Jesus, everything was all right.
Has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street, Leesville. Service times are Sunday schools, 9:50 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, 11:15 a.m., Sunday evening worship, 7:45 p.m., Tuesday Bible study, 7:30 p.m., Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m., prayer Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Yeah. Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Your generosity. to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank you for his burial and thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for seating him at your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for yet interceding on our behalf. You've been so good. In spite of ourselves, you are so good to us. And we just want to acknowledge you in this place and acknowledge you among your people. Now, Lord, have your own way. Have your own way. You are a part of it. And I'm just a clay. Make me and mold me after your will while I'm waiting. Yielded and still. We'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Save today. Transform lives through the renewing of their minds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank God. And amen. Luke's Gospel, chapters 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and this is the sequel to last Sunday's message. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Notice how many personal pronouns you see here. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, this night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word about God shall stand forever. I want to talk about the rich fool. The rich fool. Again, after looking at last Sunday's message, beware of covetousness, beware of greediness, and the subtopic, don't be greedy. We saw the man's request, and we saw the master's response, and we saw the master's regard or rendering. We are even exposed to so much in our daily lives, and certainly in our times, living in a capitalistic society. Many of us have that sense of want more, need more, following every whim and every trend that hits the counter. We live in that day and time. We are influenced by our American culture and American greed. You've seen that before. It comes on the sitcoms on a regular basis, of how greedy people who never seem to get enough. We never have enough cars. We never have enough clothes. Even Imelda, you remember her, I think she had over 7,000 pairs of shoes. And she couldn't no way wear every pair of shoes that she had. We live in a greedy and capitalistic society that influences our culture. And yet, Jesus calls us to be anti-cultural, and he calls us not to fit along the grain, but to go against the grain of greediness that we never can seem to get enough money, enough power, enough prestige. It all influences us one way or another. But as a believer, we've got to hear in all the voices of our age, we still need to hear the Master's call for us to beware, to take heed to ourselves. You know, greed and covetousness comes right to the heart of a man. As a matter of fact, he tells us two things, he says, and there are more than two, but generally he says, beware of hypocrisy, which is of the Pharisees. You've got to be real in who you are, real in your heart. And then he says, beware of covetousness, beware of greediness, because each of those things will take us away from God. We're celebrating this month, Black History Month, and we are a people who know how to work through and how to live through difficulties. We are a people that came from sharing and caring and distributing to whoever had need. Mr. Jones killed a hog. He sent a piece to Brother Brown. Help me, somebody. We came from that. There was no selfishness. There was a sense of community, and there was a sense of love for one another. But the greedy culture we live in has influenced us so much. Help me, somebody. Even our children, they see us with iPhone. They want an iPhone. Regardless to the cost, we spend $150 on a pair of Nike tennis shoes, or $300, or $400. Amen. But some of those Swiss and some of those Kmart specials were good enough for me. Help me, somebody. And if you work, you can afford a pair of Chuck Taylors. Bad greed. But greed has creeped in. And so here Jesus is dealing with this man who says to him, tell my brother to give me my inheritance. I've got a settlement and I need my money now. 877 cash now. Call J.G. Wentworth. See, I want my money now. I need it now. I need my settlement now. And so on the backdrop of this man's request to Jesus, he then moves to this parable of the rich fool. You'll notice here in the text, the demonstration, he gives a parable. Jesus gives a parable. A parable is just an illustrated truth put alongside of a principle so you would get the picture. And he used, Brother George, an agrarian background, a farmer's background. He used this rich fool to show this fool inside. It's an illustrated truth, and there's a principle here that he's showing that the man was spending more time desiring the material instead of the spiritual. And how many of today, I need to tell somebody, there's nothing wrong with good work and going to work and earning a good and decent wage. this fool. He says, I need to know, what shall I do? How am I going to work out this problem? Notice that his dilemma is a personal dilemma. He has a greedy mind, and he's only thinking about what is going to benefit himself. He didn't think about giving it away to somebody else. He didn't think about meeting the needs of others. He was only thinking about self. And that's what a greedy person does. It's all about self. Not only is it a personal dilemma, but it's also a problematic dilemma, because when you look at the text, he again says that I've got a problem here. I have no room to store my crops. He's selfish in that. But I heard Paul say something in 1 Timothy 6:17. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gave us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Now that's an unselfish person. That's the difference in the rich fool and the rich who are saved and the rich who are unsaved. The fool only thinks of himself, but the believer thinks about others. Not only do we see the dilemma, but then notice something else, Sister Ruby Jean. Notice the design plan of the rich fool. It is right in the text, because after he has had this soliloquy with himself, this dialogue with himself, he came to a solution. He came to a resolve. So he says, after he thought about it, I will do this. This is my plan. This is my strategy. You know, the rich always are coming up with some kind of strategy to stay rich. Matter of fact, the rich stay up at night while other people lay down and sleep. They're always coming up with beat and cheat schemes while you lay down at night. Amen. And so it is. He came up. He designed a personal strategy. He came up with his own greedy plan of how he was going to keep what he had. Look at the steps he says then in the text. It's right there in the text. He says, this is what I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I'm going to dismantle my barns. I'm going to demolish my barns and build greater. I'm not going to leave them down, but I'm going to put them back up. I'm not going to distribute it to the poor. Help me, somebody. I'm not going to give it to my neighbor. Somebody to know that this man was already sitting on wealth. He was already sitting on possessions, but he had a bumper crop. Help me, somebody. You know what a bumper crop is. Just come up in here around about September, October, before the cotton gins all that cotton. You'll see that the gin owners didn't plant just one row, but they planted thousands of rows. And you'll see white cotton all over the place. That's a bumper crop. He already had more than what he needed. But in his selfishness, he said, I'm going to tear down my barn. I wish I had a believer here. He said, I will tear down my barns and build greater. He didn't have any intentions of leaving them down, that I will store not just some. Here he is. Here's his selfishness. Here is greediness, Sister Baby. He said, I'm going to store all my crops. Oh, my brother. Can you not see the greediness of this man? Listen to what Benjamin Franklin says. He says, money has never made man happy, nor will it. And he says, there is nothing in its nature to produce happiness. The more of it one has, the more one wants. That's Benjamin Franklin. But then there's another writer who says that there are some things that money can't buy. I wish I had a believer. Because money may buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. I wish I had a believer. You can live in the biggest palatial mansion you want to, but it doesn't mean that it's a home. Home is where the heart is. Home is where the family is. And home is where we are communicating and cooperating with and fellowshipping with one another. I've seen big mansions and I've seen long tables. And on one end, there he sits. And on the other end, there she sits.